We've been looking at our dual citizenship. We've been looking at the things of revival. And acknowledging this statement by Robert Coleman, it says, the awakening or quickening of God's people to their own true purpose and nature. That's the nature of revival. To find your true purpose and nature. To find what is truly you. And because once you understand what's truly you, you'll be able to understand what's no longer you. I'll say that again, because when you understand what's truly you, you'll understand what's no longer you. In other words, something might have been familiar to you, but it's no longer who you are. And that means that you can begin to respond to the world around you in a brand new way. You can begin to respond to the world around you out of a place of life and assurance, and no longer out of the place of defensiveness or hurt or whatever else that other thing was trying to do in you. So all this brings us up to the point of this being the first service of the year. In the new year. The first Sunday. The first service in the first Sunday. And what I wanted to bring to you in that is that there's only one thing. There's only one thing to be talked about in the first service. There's only one thing that's appropriate, because that one thing is this relationship we have with Holy Spirit. See, I need to make a confession to you because I'm a junkie. Okay? I'm a revelation junkie. Because I love the revelation of God. I love to find those little things and to see how God develops a story out of one little idea, and how He develops a thought and a revelation of who He is out of maybe one single word. When God does that, there's something that quickens. There's something that comes alive in us when we see that and perceive that. But see, it also stimulates the intellect. But I'm here to tell you that there's something we need more than to have our intellect stimulated. We need His anointing. We need His life. We need that restoration to our true nature and calling. We need to understand just who God really is. We need to understand His purpose for us. And as we understand His purpose for us, we also need to understand who He really is. Because see, when we begin to understand these things, when we begin to have this as part of who we are, then no longer can we be led off into a place of deception. No longer will we allow the enemy to beat us up with something that it's not his to do in the first place. No longer will we allow ourselves to be called unworthy when God has made us worthy. No longer will we walk in shame when God has given us a place of freedom. No longer will we shy away from an opportunity when God has called us to be bold. These are the things that God is putting within us, and the things that He's quickening within us, but it comes from a fellowship with the Holy Spirit. It comes from a fellowship with Him, because out of this place of fellowship, we can begin to develop that reliance upon Him. It doesn't matter whatever else that the Lord may be delivering or doing, but you see, the teacher himself wants to interface with you. And see, as you understand that, and as you begin to hear Him and respond with Him in every situation within your life, then it can begin to change the nature of what's going on around you. We're no longer just delivering words of knowledge, but we're delivering words of life as the anointing is joined to the words. Those are our goals. Because see, each and every one of us has something that we're in need of. And I can guarantee you the answer is found in this fellowship. Whether we're in need of healing, whether we're in need of restoration, whether we're in need of truth, whether we're in need, you know, of His provision, all of it is found in this place of presence. Hallelujah. See, there's one thing. If you will, turn with me to John 15. Very familiar scripture. I'm not trying to bring you revelation today. I want to bring you an understanding of the anointing of God. I want to bring you an awakening to the place that He's already reserved for you. See, John 15 and 26 says this, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness of Me." He will bear witness of Me. And you see, He goes on to say something else, "And you will bear witness also, because you have been with Me from the beginning." You will bear witness also. See, the Holy Spirit comes and He has a goal, and that's the goal. His first job is to bear witness of Christ. As He bears witness of Christ to you, then He can begin to bear witness of Christ through you. Job one is we have to know Him. Job one is we have to receive this witness of Christ that He's offering us and to step into that place that He's given us. See, we talked about the Pharisees and Herod and how they were seeing and hearing but not believing. God's not looking for people to just see and hear of Him, but He's looking for people who will actually step out into believing of Him. When we begin to do like the blind man that we studied last week and receive Christ, then our healing comes. When we begin to do like Peter and to identify Him as the Christ, healing comes. God is looking for us to identify Him as the Christ. He's looking for us to know Him as the Christ, and that means we have to know Holy Spirit to get there. But see, a lot of times, we impede our relationship with Holy Spirit. Over this past week, I spent quite a bit of time just praying in tongues for the purpose of coming into a new place with Him, for the purpose of understanding what He was doing. But see, there was something that I was also doing, which was I was impeding my own relationship with Holy Spirit. Because I was kind of putting it off. Not intentionally, but just by distraction, by little things. And here's what He had to say about all that. He says, "The whole lie that Satan wants you to believe is that somehow, some way, you're not qualified to meet with Me or fellowship with Me right now. Maybe after you've repented. Or maybe after you've dealt with your issue. Or maybe after the first hour of prayer. Or when that distraction is dealt with. But not right now." Anybody can identify with those things? In other words, any time in the world will be okay, but not right now. Any moment will be good, but not right now. Because you still haven't repented, because you still haven't quite earned it. You still haven't quite qualified for it. You still haven't quite become what I needed you to become in order to be able to step into fellowship with Me. Just fellowship was good, but not right now. He so goes on to say, of course, the list is never ending. And the actual times of fellowship are pushed back to non-existence. Because it's not right now. Because somehow, some way, we're not prepared at this moment to meet with Holy Spirit. Somehow, some way, we're not quite qualified yet to meet with Holy Spirit. Now, we don't think those things out logically, but that's what's happening. If we stopped and actually analyzed it, then we would see the folly and the lie of it. He goes on to say, "I am with you always, and it is only through our fellowship that these things can be effectively dealt with. In Me, you have the framework of righteousness peace and joy through which you can interpret the world around you in a godly way. There is no issue of repentance that you're going to deal with properly until you're in His presence. So why do we try to deal with it before we come to Him? It's just works mentality. That's a performance mentality. There is no distraction that's ever going to go away until you just submit it to the Lord Jesus Christ. The things that we have to do, the things that keep us out, are all in themselves a lie. Because see, they're only effectively dealt with in the presence of God. And in the presence of God, suddenly all those things can take their proper place. Suddenly all those things take their proper framework, and we can begin to see in a brand new way. We can begin to see outside the understanding that the enemy is trying to put upon us through our circumstance. We can begin to see outside the framework of our past behaviors and identify the true problems that are at the root instead of just continually responding to the fruit that has been born in our life. Because there's a place where God wants to bring us, but we can only bring us there if we'll allow ourselves to submit to Him, to surrender to Him. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 14:17. Righteousness, peace, and joy. What he's saying there is that the kingdom of God is not in meats. It's not in the observances of the external things. The kingdom of God is in the rejoicing in who the Holy Spirit is in you. The kingdom of God is in the recognition that He's the one who brings you into the place of righteousness. It's in the recognition that He's the one who can position you into peace, and He can position you into joy as He teaches you how to overcome the enemy. As He teaches you how to respond in a godly way instead of just the way that we've always done it. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. See, the devil knows it. And when we were talking about just a moment ago, he says you can interpret the world around you in a godly way when you come into this fellowship. The devil knows this, which is why he schemes to keep you separated, forever jousting at moving targets, which mean nothing. Even using your good intentions to draw you from the one thing that will truly change you. Interface and fellowship with me. The devil knows that for you to hear the word is one thing, but for it to come alive in you, for it to be united with faith in you, is quite another. The thing that terrifies him is the action of faith. The thing that terrifies him is that the life that is in the word, the life that is in Christ, will become alive in you. Because see, that spark is dangerous. That's the spark of revival. That spark is something that will change not only you, but it can change cities and nations. He watched 12 men change a world with that spark. He watched 120 change a whole generation and every generation since through that spark. He's afraid of that spark. He's afraid of that relationship that you have with God. He's afraid of what will happen when you begin to know your true nature and calling. He's afraid of what's going to happen when we begin to recognize the fullness of God, the love of God that is in us. He will do all he can for you not to know the love I have stored up for you, to keep you from realizing your full purpose and potential. The devil knows that his whole plan, every deception and lie, will unravel in the place of fellowship with me. My assignment, this is the Holy Spirit speaking, is to bear witness of Christ to you. Will you join me and learn of Him with me? Know the price has been paid and the way is paved for you to fellowship with me. anytime and any place, you will open your heart to receive me. Anytime and any place, you will open your heart to receive him. I am the Comforter, the Spirit of truth, and I come to reveal all that the Father and Son have stored up for you. Come just as you are and come fellowship with me. See, the separation that exists is not on God's side. He paid that price. The only separation that exists is in your own mind. It's the walls that we put up that we've tried to use to keep us protected from those around us. Protected from the things that we couldn't trust. Those are the walls that have to come down. Those are the walls that he wants to deliver you from. Once you have this new nature, those walls are no longer protecting you from those things. They're only keeping you from the best that God has for you. We talked about the veils a couple of weeks ago. This is the walls that we're talking about. The veils, the walls. It doesn't matter what you call it. It's a separation between us and God that we, once we've been born again, we're the ones who perpetuate it. Come just as you are. Come and fellowship with me. My desire is for you. Come, draw near to me. Fellowship with me right where you are. We have one thing and one job, one task at this moment, and that is to love and be loved by our Creator. One task. To love and be loved by our Creator. Because see, in that becomes the fullness of everything that we need. In that comes the fullness of all that God has done for you is delivered in that place. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. And see, because I'm doing this thing in a very different way today. 1 Corinthians 13. Because see, over the past number of weeks, I've been seeking to just preach to you from what I call the present mind of Christ. Preach to you from that present mind, because see, in the present mind, he can address every situation. And he can bring that which is life, and not just that which is merely words. Because I can amaze you and entertain you with things that will stimulate your intellect. But if you go home and only your intellect has been stimulated, or only your soul has been touched, and I don't bring an awakening to your spirit, I haven't done my job. There's an awakening. There's a calling of the Spirit that's happening right now. There's a calling to your spirit that is happening because the words that I speak are His life. Not because they're my words. Because they aren't even my words. Believe me, I don't know how to express them in the same way that He's doing right now. 1 Corinthians 13 says this. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor and I deliver my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. We have one task. That's to understand His love. To understand His love and to step into this fellowship that we have with Him. Because see, only in this understanding His love and stepping into the fellowship that we have with Him can our true nature be revealed. Can our true self come to the surface. Only in that place can we step into the very purpose and nature that God has called us for. Because it doesn't matter how many other things that we do or how nice they may look or how well they may seem to someone else. But if it doesn't come out of the Spirit of life within us, it will profit us nothing. It seems harsh that you could give your body to be burned and yet it would profit you nothing. But yet we know that people can do that just simply out of sometimes even a misplaced compassion. But God is looking for those who are sold out to Him. He's looking for those who will receive the magnificence of His love, because in the magnificence of His love, as we receive that love, it qualifies us to be ready. It qualifies us to release it to someone else. It begins to create within us the nature of God and show us and keep us in that place of His nature. So that we're no longer working our own agenda, but now we can begin to walk in His. And not that we can't do measures of good things before we get to that place, but God is showing us, here's a more excellent way. Because if you'll come to know me and know my fullness, he says in Ephesians 3 and 19, he tells us to know the love which surpasses knowledge. He's not looking for you to just have a head knowledge of it. He's looking for you to have the experience of it living inside of you. Because out of that place, he can deal with everything that affects you. I talked to you a couple of weeks ago about removing the handles when we understand the nature of his love, removing the handles. Well, as we read through 1 Corinthians 13, begin to see how many handles get removed when we understand this love, looking at this as being the love of God for you. We always look at this as this is how we're supposed to get along with our brother and sister. This is how we come alongside them when we read 1 Corinthians 13. That's why we have it sitting, you know, posted on our refrigerator or in our bathroom wall. But see, God is not just looking for that. This is His message to you. This is how He wants to love you. For He says, love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, does not brag, and is not arrogant. How many handles does that remove right there? When love is patient, love is kind. How many handles does that remove? When love does not envy. Why? It's not necessary to envy. When I can have all that I want, I have no need of envy. When I have all that I want, I no longer need to be arrogant about it. Because, see, Carlos could have it all too. And it's okay. But it keeps me from being arrogant. Because Carlos got just as much as I got. When love is patient, no longer do I need to be impatient. Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked and does not take into account wrong suffered. In other words, love keeps a short memory going. You got to have a short memory of the things that are past, the things that are hurtful. Because see, only in that short memory of what's been hurting can you actually overcome. Because you can begin to walk not out of that hurt, but you can begin to walk out of a purpose. Because love is bringing forth purpose in you. When we keep a big long list of every hurt that we've ever been hurt with, you know, there are some people who have this memory and they can remember what happened to them in 1972 and they can still remember what shirt they were wearing and what shirt you were wearing. And you know what? I bet they remember every little thing that ever happened to them that somebody did. But when you have that kind of a memory for it, when you hold those things that tight, there's a whole lot of burden that goes along with that. We have to learn to keep a short account. When we're walking in love, love is going to have a short account. And it doesn't mean that you walk in foolishness. It doesn't mean that you let somebody continue to walk over you know, time and time again. That's not the point. The point is that you allow for the grace of God to move in your life. That you allow them to the possibility of not being that same person any longer. Sometimes when we respond to someone out of their past patterns and they're no longer in that pattern, we put them in the pattern. If you keep responding to them out of that old way, even though they've changed, you're never going to see it. So that's why we keep short accounts. Because God wants us to know His love, and He wants us to know that He's keeping a short account with us. I, for one, am grateful. We're grateful for that because that's the nature of God towards us, and that's the place where He can keep us and shepherd over us. When that's our covering, then we're no longer having to walk or be distracted by things that have held us back, by the things of the past, but we can walk in the full assurance that we'll receive for who we are today. Verse 6, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. See, this is the nature of the Father, and this is the nature of the Holy Spirit, because, see, Holy Spirit comes to convict you of your righteousness, and He comes as the Spirit of truth. And when He comes as the Spirit of truth, He's releasing truth by His nature, by His very presence. He's uncovering the lies and deceptions that the enemy has held over you. When these deceptions are unveiled and peeled back, then it gives us an opportunity to see the world in a different light. See, God's love rejoices with truth because He knows truth is what sets you free. His love rejoices with truth because He knows that in this truth, then you'll begin to understand the righteousness that He's called you to walk in. You'll begin to understand that you are the righteousness of God, because no longer will the enemy be able to convict you of this unworthiness or this shamefulness. No longer will the enemy be able to convict you of the past patterns and habits, because, see, God is releasing you into truth. He's releasing you into that new nature. And He does this through this fellowship with Holy Spirit. Love bears all things. Thank you, Lord. You've borne all things with me. You know, I thought it was a big enough mess for Him to bear the things that I brought to Him in my moment of salvation. But maybe if I look at the things that have been since that moment of salvation, that's a bigger mess. At least I know I had some idea or some ability to say, well, I didn't know better. But I have no ability, such ability now. And yet, I've still created a mess. And yet, His love bears all things. His love comes to show me and to share with me and to help me to recognize that He's there in spite of whatever I've done. He warmly invites me in spite of whatever I've done. His love bears all things, believes all things, and hopes all things, endures all things. It has a hopefulness in it. There's a hopefulness that comes with the presence of God. There's a hope that is reborn in us because we have contact from glory to glory as we stay in His presence, that we have this contact that springs forth hopefulness because He is hope, and that hope becomes the anchor of our soul. Love never fails. See, for we know in part, we prophesy in part, verse 9, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak as a child, think as a child, reason as a child, and I became a man. I did away with the childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, just as I've been fully known. When we start thinking about this in terms of the Father's love for us, to know that we're growing up. The mark of maturity in our life is not what anointing we're walking in. The mark of maturity in our life is how much love are we holding on to? How much love are we giving evidence to in our life? When we start looking at this love and knowing that this is His sign of maturity for us, and as we see more and more of His love, and we understand how to walk in the fullness of His love, it comes out of this place of relationship. When I was a child, I spake as a child. But see, the more of His love that you manage to see and to have and to hold on to, the more mature he can make you. It changes how we look at 1 Corinthians 13 when we come into relationship with him. In this, we could find our true self. You know, sometimes we have this expectation. And it's our own expectations that create the distance between us and the Father. He says here, I never asked or expected you to be perfect. I do ask for you to be receptive and willing to learn. Let your thoughts be without partitions, protected areas. For in this way we can come into unity. See, whether you call them veils, partitions, protected areas, those are things that you harbor in your heart that you don't want to let anyone near. That's what he's talking about. Because see, oftentimes it's our desire to hold on to those little places that keeps us separated from God. Because we don't want to let him in there either. Many cannot experience unity with others because they have not found unity within themselves. When an internal openness to the Spirit is achieved, then the will of the Spirit can be perceived. The partitions or curtains of separation, shame, fear, and sin have all been disposed of for those who are willing to believe in the finished work of Christ. Religion would create a new separation, but is not the way of the Spirit. The familiar spirits of failure, defeat, and self-sabotage would impede your access. But they're not of me, says the Spirit. The destroyer comes first after your access and then after your life. Know that Jesus came as your high priest and paid the price. The enemy knows that he can separate us from the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the one who came to bear witness of Christ to you. If he can separate us from that, then he separated us from the love of God. He separated us from the very thing that can take away all the handles the enemy has used against you. If he can separate you from that, then eventually he can have your life. We have one task. And that's fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I've come to a place where right now I don't want to move on until I find and obtain and able to rejoice in the fullness of this fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Because see, in that place is the place of every freedom and deliverance for me. Your access is assured in me, for it was never dependent on you. I will wash you as often as you will come to me. Remember, I seek the meek and lowly of heart, for they are the ones who know they need a Savior. I'm not requiring you to be beat up, broken, or downcast. I am looking for those who are willing to come to me with an open heart. Those who are willing to lay aside any agenda or prejudice to learn of me. Unworthiness and shame make a mockery of what Christ has done. Step in to greater fellowship with me. For this fellowship is the response and the solution to your every need. Need healing from sin and shame? It is found here. Healing from disappointment and pain? Found here. Healing from unworthiness or arrogance or pride? Each are found in the warmth and the clarity that comes with fellowship in my Spirit. Confidence gives evidence to faith found in my fellowship. Lies that create separation are exposed in my presence. Defensive postures are dismantled in the place of fellowship. Never underestimate the power of time spent with me. I am jealous for your thoughts and your time, for time with you. Many are afraid or feel inadequate to approach me. These are not my thoughts for my people, for I desire to embrace with joy all who present themselves to me. There are times when we speak. There are times when we just listen. But Lord wants each of us to enter into a place of fellowship. He wants each of us to recognize His voice, His calling. He wants each of us to step into that place, because see, in the place of recognizing that He has a voice to us and in us, we can begin to come in the maturity that comes ultimately from His love. I want you to just bow your heads at a moment. And I want you to just open your hearts to receive Him, to receive a fellowship with Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we recognize now is the time. We recognize in this corporate atmosphere, Lord, knowing your love is here for us. Knowing your guidance, your direction. Knowing, Lord, that in this place we just simply can just yield to you, developing trust. And Lord, it doesn't matter what you say or what you don't say. What matters right now is a surrender in our heart. Holy Spirit, we thank you for initiating within us an unbroken fellowship. We thank you, Lord, that you will remind us of all that Christ has said. Lord, we thank you for your fellowship. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you come and to bear witness of Christ. First bearing witness of Christ to us, Lord. Then bearing witness of Christ through us. Now I just thank him for whatever you've perceived or even what you didn't perceive. Just thank him that he's trustworthy. Hallelujah. It's amazing how just the simple act of opening ourselves up to Him. One of the things that I do is just simply, I'll just take and I'll just do a separation over my heart, just a pulling back. It's kind of an act of faith for me just to pull back, because as I pull back, I'm exposing all my heart to Him. Because see, He's looking to join us in a place of unbroken fellowship. And that used to concern me, because I thought, unbroken fellowship, how could I ever do that and do what I have to do in the world? But see, what He explained to me is that unbroken fellowship is not a constant chatter, it's not a constant verbal communication, but unbroken fellowship is a place and a position of agreement with Him, and a position of agreement and unity for His purpose in your heart. Because see, when you're open, when you're constantly leaving your heart open to Him, even when you're going about your business and you're going about your day at work, and He says something, He drops something in your spirit, you're able to receive it. And because you received it, now you're able to respond to it. That's unbroken fellowship. It doesn't have to be some mysterious, spooky thing that, you know, you got to become a monk in order to have unbroken fellowship. No. God is wanting you to have unbroken fellowship right where you are, right where you live, right now. He's looking for you to have a place in your heart of agreement with Him and a receptivity for His word and His voice, a receptivity to what He wants to do. That's how He looks at unbroken fellowship. That way we can accomplish the things we need to accomplish. At the same time, we're being increased by the Spirit of God. Because you have to recognize Holy Spirit, Jesus, and the Father, these all exist outside of time. Time is a thing that we use to describe certain segments of things that happen in a sequence to us. But that same concept doesn't exist, nor does it bind Holy Spirit or Jesus. And so sometimes you may sit there and, you know, you may think, well, God, what do we have to talk about? And this is the guy who you're talking to here who exists outside of time. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would come to remind us of everything that He said. Well, that wasn't just the things that He said to those apostles. That's everything that He's ever said now, then, or in the future. Because He exists outside of time, and Holy Spirit can go get your word, whether it's today or tomorrow, He can go get your word and bring it to you. Because He's outside of time. Whether it was 2,000 years ago or 2,000 years in the future, He can go get your word. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of wisdom. He's the Spirit of wisdom, and because He's the Spirit of wisdom, He has all wisdom to release to you. So maybe while you're sitting in at your job and you're having this place of openness to His Spirit, He can drop into your spirit the very truth, the very thought and idea you need to solve the problem that's in front of you. I know that He's done this for me. I can recall one time where the guy that I was in business with, he was a software guru. He was incredible, just a genius at what he did. But he couldn't figure out this one problem, and I said, well, then I will just pray about it. So I went and prayed about it for a few minutes, and the Lord gave me some things, and I wrote it out on a sheet of paper, didn't even understand what it meant, took the sheet of paper and handed it to him, and he looked at it and said, that's going to work. Where'd you get it? I told him, I prayed. I told you I'd pray. I didn't understand what it meant, but he knew what it meant. Holy Ghost knew what it meant, and that's all that was necessary. See, God gives you the solution to your problem. How much have you been increased? Maybe God uses you and drops an invention in your heart. Maybe He drops a new concept in your heart. Maybe He drops a solution to the situation in your family in your heart. Maybe He just drops a new way of looking at the person who's been staring at you in your heart. See, he can change our responses because he's able to give us out of the place of all wisdom and all understanding. He's able to give us things that we can't even begin to comprehend. The nature and purpose of drawing near to him is first to discover who he is and to discover this life that we have. As we discover this life that we have, this relationship becomes probably the most important thing that we can seek after. Holy Spirit, his job is to bring us into a place of transformation. We don't always like change. Some people thrive on change, and other people absolutely hate change. Usually we hate change because that means something's outside of our control. And that's obviously an issue that needs to be dealt with in the first place. But when we begin to embrace the change, we can begin to embrace the future. We begin to embrace the possibilities. I'm suggesting, and I'm charting a course to embrace the changes the Holy Spirit will bring in me. I'm suggesting you chart a course to embrace the changes Holy Spirit will bring in you. Because it's only going to make you better at whatever it is that you do. It's only going to make you better at representing this Christ that we have in us. It's only going to make us better at working and talking and dealing with the world around us. Embrace the change as you embrace this place of fellowship. Amen?